Welcome to the Rams Writer Podcast.
Now Kamil Jóźwiak, there it is. Kamil Jóźwiak's first goal for Derby County. It's a stunner.
Got the flick, and it's Kazim Richards who pokes it home. And Derby County are in dreamland after 25 minutes.
Knight on the follow-up. Derby lead at the Den.
Up in the air, in swing at Etheridge. Drops it, and it's in from Bielik. And Christian Bielik scores his first goal for Derby.
Hello, and welcome back to the Rams Wrap podcast in association with Kitbag UK. I'm your host, Simon, as always, and we've got to talk it. We've got to do it, haven't we? And I'm with Salam to do it with me. Yes, we are going to talk Derby County and another tumultuous week. Stories here, there, and everywhere. But first, joining me live from Lebanon, Salam, welcome back, my friend. It has been a while. It's so good to have you back on the show, mate. How are we doing? Are we well?
All good, Simon. Pleasure's all mine. Good to be back. Hello, everyone. Good to see you again, Simon.
It was a big buzz, mate. I'm not going to lie. It was a big buzz when I said you were back on the show. Everyone loves your rants, apparently. So today, it might just be event today, in fairness, with everything that's gone off. So, but I think we'll start with, actually, I think it might be good news because we've actually had a little bit of communication from the club, which we all know has been lacking. Chris Cole's Radio Derby decided to tweet out a few things that he'd spoke with the club about. Let's go through it. let's talk about it. So essentially then he says, Chris Cole then begins, right then, after several long conversations, here's where we stand with a few Derby issues. Firstly, owner and executive chairman Mel Morris will meet with the supporter charter group next week to field questions. Imagine it will be bound by confidentiality, but it's something. Now, just on that, Nav, DCFC, has asked a good question. He's basically said on Twitter today, he said, he reckons podcasters or some podcasters should be allowed to go to this charter meeting, because I think it's obviously between supporter groups like Rams Trust, Derby County supporter group, that sort of things. And I may be a little bit biased, but I think we should be allowed. What do you think, Sal? Should I be allowed to go to this meeting with Mel?
I think you should. I think podcasters should. They have a lot of coverage between you, Bloomers Washing, and Rams Review. I think you guys cover quite a broad and a large scale of fan base. You should be. And the Rams Trust, DCFC fans, which is a forum, and the podcasters should be on there as well. Definitely getting the sound bites, getting the interviews in with Mel.
It does say it's confidentiality, or that it thinks. I think it's a bit, well, okay, that's fine. But again, it sort of says to me that, well, the supporters groups are going to be, all in the know. But what about the rest of the fans? To me, that doesn't sit well. If you're going to have this meeting with supporters, surely it should be an open forum. That's my opinion anyway. As it goes for podcasts, with Nav was saying, we have a strong reach. I've got almost 3,000 followers on Twitter, a load more across Instagram and Facebook.
I've got
YouTube as well. So why has it got to be confidential? It just speaks to me that, again, that he's picking a select few, those that have written a letter in, or
obviously he's inviting the people that probably went to the Breakfast Club meetings that he's had when he first took over. And obviously it's going to be sound bites from Mel. It's going to try and sweet talk a couple of the fans that he's invited over.
A breakfast club, what's that?
Mel invited a few Derby supporters over for a breakfast at Pride Park.
All right, okay. I didn't realise that.
I can see the strategy in doing that. I can see the communications aspect of it ahead of the season. Lay out the information that you want, get the information that you want out, get a few fans to to retweet and talk about and spread whatever you have to say.
Yeah.
Everything has been negative at the moment. So hopefully he will, something positive might come out of it. There could be some information about the takeover. We're not sure at the moment, but something's got to give. And I think they've realized that they need to communicate with the fans. How best to do it is to invite the usual suspects in for the talk or whatever meeting it is.
Yeah, I mean, I guess obviously they will do what they can to try and sort of, I guess, promote what Mel said and everything, try and get it across to the fan base what they can do. Obviously, again, it says confidential, so there'll be some stuff that they can't say, but other things that they can. So, I mean, yeah, whatever. Again, it's a start, it's a start, so happy days. So then back to the tweet then, Chris goes, next, the transfer embargo. Club are confident of overturning some of the new restrictions pronto. This will once again allow four new additions expected to be filled in the coming days. Understand the new restrictions concerned Derby only permitted to bring loans in. Interesting. So obviously this goes with the being able to field a squad of 23 senior players. It was all a bit dodgy with the Chorley game that we had to play. So we had a load of players that are now registered senior players, despite them only being pups themselves. So, but I think when it first came out that the AFL had made a statement and the club had made a statement saying that we're now allowed, obviously, to, and I think John Percy again came out with a statement. It all said that, we could sign players again to make a 23-man squad. I think we all thought it could be free transfers, but obviously looking and reading this, it just means we can only get loans in. And I believe the loans we can get in are only for 6 months. What club, I know we've got Mengi already from Man United, he's set to join us on loan, but is he going to come for 6 months? No, I don't think he will. I think it's going to be a case of no loany player is going to want to come in for 6 months. I don't think another club's going to be happy with that, or the player itself. They want to get somewhere. They want to be there for a year, not 6 months. So I'm not, again, it's... it's something, but they are confident of overturning some of the new restrictions. So, again, it sounds like we're in discussions with the EFL still. And this obviously brings us on to the next point. Discussions are continuing with HMRC about chucking someone into all the tax man, which should be done by the end of the week. This one, in theory, relax on this restriction with talks ongoing with the EFL about further barriers being removed, which, to save Twitter space, essentially would change the status of some of Derby's youngsters, freeing up plenty of space to add more freebies, believed to be as many as 10. No concerns with players on trial at the moment, or happy to wait for a deal. So that's, I suppose, a bit of positive there. We are in talks with, obviously, we've got so many trialists. Ravel Morrison, Rich Stearman, just trying to think, Phil Jagielka. Oh, yeah, I think a 38-year-old. Not, but that's where we're at, isn't it, I suppose? 39 next month. That's where we're at the minute. Sonia Luco. Oh, I wish I'd written him down now, but we've got loads, haven't we? There's that many. Oh, yeah, and then Tom Carroll's just recently started training with us as well. So...
This could be read in several ways. The way I look at it is the EFL just want to see the back of Mel.
Yeah.
They're making it as hard as possible for him. They want him to meet his obligations, his financial obligations.
And well, paying the taxman's a thing you've got to do as a business, isn't it?
Exactly. We all do it. We all pay our taxes. And I think this simply is, this is it. Mel picked a fight that he could never have won.
No.
And he lost.
Yeah, I agree. He was never, ever going to beat the AFL. They would have done everything they can. They knew they were being duped. They did. And, I've mentioned it before, there's no way you can keep doing it and trying to get away with it. It will ultimately come back to bite you in the bum, and that's what it's done with Mel. But I'll go to the next bit because it makes more sense, with what it says there. But, just pay the tax, pay the tax man, pay your taxes as a business. Chris obviously goes on to say, obviously the embargo itself would evaporate with submission of accounts. However, there's a stumbling block. Okay, surprise. Derby and the AFL disagree on a certain aspect, and rather than go through protracted disputes, both are trying to sort it before publication. This, I guess, makes sense. Neither side want more legal battles going forward. There's a genuine desire to improve relations between the two, but whether or not they agree remains to be seen. Obviously, it needs to be resolved one way or another before August the 18th. So, obviously, that's the deadline, August the 18th, to put the accounts through. We know we've got to put the accounts through for... well, I think it's like 16, 17, 17, 18, 18, 19, 19, 20. So four lots of accounts. They've got to be submitted to the FL. They've got to be submitted to companies' ask. We've got to pay the tax man, do that. You know, you could, you know, the embargo gets lifted. Obviously, I believe the dispute, I spoke about it with Kieran Maguire on a previous podcast, is we somehow managed to find an extra 30 million revaluation or something like that. Go check it out on my last podcast to understand a bit more what that's about. But when we sold the stadium back in 7-8, you know, we undervalued it or something like that. We've got an extra 30 million that, you know, Stephen Pearce, I think, is looking at bringing in, that we've not basically not been accounted for. He's now going to bring it into the accounts. And if that is true and we can do that, then that would then obviously make us well clear of breaching FFP. Yeah, so it is... It sounds bad. For me though, it's just a simple task, isn't it? Now we're still complaining. We're still going, we want to do it this way, we want to do it that way. You know, just do it. Every other club in the EFL pays the taxes, pays the players, the team's wages. They put their accounts through. You know, they try but by FFP. Yes, some get caught out. You know, but this is just. On and on and on and on, and the season starts in what, a week? A week on Saturday.
It's absolutely outrageous.
Let me just stop you there. I know you're not the biggest fan of Mel, but I want to
never
hear
was.
I want to hear you talk. I've got to hear you talk. I want to know exactly how you're feeling about this, because you know, I know you've had rants at me, you know, off the record, you know, and let's hear it, because I guarantee you 80% of the fan base are feeling the same.
It's outrageous where we are at the moment. We shouldn't be in this situation. The warning signs were there from the beginning. We're going into the season without centre-backs and missing a couple of centre-forwards. How is that possible for a football club to be in this mess? When everything was so run correctly, properly, and the Clough days with the previous owners, GSE. I really don't know how bad it got. And I think, and you can tell, I think, from the leaks with the Bizadai and Alonso, Mel was desperate to sell the club.
Mm.
So much so that information was forthcoming. It was like, the club is gone, we sold it, we're waiting for the money to come in. To be in this situation where the fans are worried about their own clubs, if the club's going to be, if you're going to go into administration, but hopefully there's willing buyers. But just to run the club, I mean, to this situation, to this position, and this, it's baffling. It's absolutely shocking that we are at this juncture where failure to pay our bills will probably result in points deduction. We can't add any players at the moment. What is that about, really? I mean, I think those who are still defending Mel, I understand probably Mel wanted the best for the club, but he went about it the wrong way. There was no mechanisms in place to stop him from doing this. There was no board. The board was Mel and Pearce and Rush at the time. So there wasn't the mechanism to question the quality control, the risk analysis. That was never in place. He was just free to do what he wanted. And now we're paying for it. The fans are paying for it. And I was reading a post online the other day about how the fans are to blame for demanding million-pound players. Well, I'm sorry, there's only two people to blame, and that's Mel Morris and Stephen Pearce.
Mm.
They're the reason why we are in this mess. Mm. Run the club responsibly. No one wanted to jeopardize the future of the club for immediate promotion.
Yeah.
We all saw and valued what Clough was doing. We appreciated Steve McLaren, but then the boom and bust tactics, they never worked. And there were fans who were saying this isn't going to work from day one.
Yeah.
But yeah.
it is, you know, and you're right. You know, I think a lot, you know, we've seen a lot of the pantomime, you know, the Mel's got the AFL on strings, and we've all seen them memes across social media. You know, we all cheered when he sold the stadium. Oh yeah, we beat the AFL again. And we didn't realize at the time that we as fans, I feel, were being duped. We were being led astray by a PR magnate. That's, you know, Frank Lampard.
He's good at that.
Oh, he's, you know, Frank Lampard. Look at the money that went into that, into all the, you know, the just him coming, the special effects, the videos and stuff.
The
like
video,
that.
The introduction video is one of the best videos I've ever watched.
I know. And then it's, you know, let's have him have an interview with Aaron Bradley. Let's go bring Jack O'Connell, you know, a Derby actor, you know. Why? No disrespect to Jack. Nothing, you know, nothing against him at all. But why? What, you know, what this, you know, we just went full on Hollywood. It's a joke. We then lose Lampard. And Mel goes, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, no, I'll tell you what, I'll sign Wayne Rooney. I'll go sign Wayne Rooney behind Philip Cocu's back. That's where I'll go. Do you think he went, yo, Phil, hey, mate, I'm going to get Wayne Rooney. Do you mind? No, did he bollocks? Sorry. He went and just went, I'm going to sign Wayne Rooney. Another PR stunt. And what makes it, what is, you know, is really, he signed him as a player coach. Don't worry, he'll play for 18 months. He's going to learn his coaching badges. So basically, Philip Cocker must have gone, hang about, he's brought him in here. For me to coach him, had to be a coach. And then he's going to take my job. It's no wonder he left. And we also, Tom Huddleston, you know, did an interview with Radio Derby, and he was speaking about, not getting a new contract. And one of the reasons was because he spoke with Philip Cocker. Philip Cocker's word to him, I have to play Wayne Rooney. I have to play him. Now, I don't personally believe that he has to play him because he's Wayne Rooney. He has to play him, pay him, because 32 Red are paying us to play him.
Yeah.
Another Mel Morris masterstroke. Don't we just love it when he does that? Another PR stunt.
You could not criticise Mel Morris at all, could you? For the last how many years?
6 years now, isn't it? It's just been, you know, and the feelings change now. I've definitely seen the feelings change across social media against Mel Morris.
I've seen full-on Morris backers now absolutely turn their backs. And they've got every single right to do so. I mean, look at us. Look where we almost achieved, where we are, the way we were run, and how we ended up. I mean, we're literally on the edge. It could literally go both ways. And I think only the saving grace is there is an interested party from America. That's the only reason I think we will survive this.
Yeah.
However, they're not going to pay the money that Morris wanted.
No, not at all. We'll move to that point then, now you brought that up. Yeah, so back to Twitter, back to Chris Coles. On the takeover, people are at the table, but unlike the previous two takeover attempts, business is being conducted extremely privately. There are no concerns over cash flow in the interim and no concerns over players' wages being missed again. So in a nutshell, an awful lot of dialogue going on. Whether they lead to anything of note is still open to debate. Explains Rooney's "we need help from everyone" line. Talks are all well and good, but action is needed. Yeah, so takeover then. A name that's been obviously mentioned, in the, it was in the, by Simon Stone's report by the BBC, was Mike Horton. Obviously, Mike Horton, he was involved in the local consortium with the likes of Pete Marples, Pete Gadsby, Mel Morris himself, back in 2007, 2008, when we got promoted. I think he obviously owned, ran Derby Storm. He knows how to run a sports club. He's been there, done it, got a T-shirt. So if it is him involved, and we know, you know, I believe, you know, he's got links. I believe he lives in Miami. So has he got links to, if he likes basketball, if he likes the NBA, you know, obviously, like I say, Derby Storm basketball, I automatically go, okay, Miami Heat. Maybe he's got links to them. We don't know for sure. Where this money's coming in. We've heard a lot of talk. We've seen a lot of people on social media talking about this takeover. Now, I do know stuff, I'm not going to lie, but I can't say anything. You know, as Chris Cole said there, they don't want it in out there. And that's fine. Things can happen like a takeover without media knowledge. you know, and what do they call it? Non-disclosure agreements can be signed, so nothing gets leaked out. I look at the Burnley takeover again, American. No one heard a dicky. No one really heard anything about it. Bang! 9 months later, bosh! There they go. Americans are in charge. It was all a bit out of the blue.
Yes, but you've got the Derby fans already out baying for blood with failed takeovers, and Alonso tweeting stuff about signing £20 million players for Wayne Rooney. So obviously, everything was handled incorrectly and wrongly from day one, with every single thing to do with the takeovers. And I think you're right there when mentioning that they wanted to keep it secret, but there's been some talk in the grapevine about who the backers are and how the framework is going to work in the short to medium term.
I mean, we've discussed it, haven't we? We've discussed it. We had Corey on, and, you know, we thought it could be... This is what I'm talking about. We just don't know. You know, we went with Washington-based backers because of Wayne Rooney, you know, his time over there. He will have contacts over there regardless. You can look at... I suppose you can look at Miami with Wayne Rooney as well. When you think about David Beckham, Philip Neville, he's all friends with them. Obviously, that's a franchise brought out there, isn't it? You know, by a rich guy. You know, Beckham's obviously involved in that. We just don't know. That there is no hard evidence of who's behind what, who's doing this, who's doing that, where the money's coming from, who the backers are. We just know it's American money, you know. So, you know,
from the East Coast.
Well, somewhere, yeah. You know, we've had names like I say, Ted Leonsis. You know, that was a name that we came up with last time on the podcast.
Well, it's guesswork, really. It's just complete guesswork.
It is, you know, it is guesswork. But it's nice to know the club has said, yes, there are talks on the table. You know, we just don't know how close they are. We'd like to think, fingers crossed, that they are close and they are ready to go. And it's just now a case of Mel's doing what he's got to do. I mean, who's making the decisions at the moment? Do you know what I mean? If Mel's sort of taking over, if Mel's leaving, who's making the decisions? Well, is it new owners? Is it, you know... Right. Well, remember when we covered the BZI takeover?
Yeah.
There was a lot of talks that Rooney was talking to the new owners. He was talking to BZI about decisions, about transfers, etc. Is he now talking to the new owners or potential new owners, as we need to call them, I suppose? We just don't know. But what I think is good is that they've actually said, yes, we are still in talk. So maybe that does put the fans' mind at rest a little bit. What do you think? Yeah, totally.
And is it true about the ground also being part of the deal and going back to the club?
So yeah, I have spoken to somebody. You know, he's quite active on Twitter. He will, he does put it out there, and he is adamant that the ground is being sold now. And it is being sold as well with the takeover, which, you know, is good. We have seen that I've posted the website, the Stadia Vision, I think it is, which I believe is Mike Horton's company. And, you know, there we are, Bosch. There's a video of Pride Park Stadium with a roof on it. So, you know, is that something that we're looking to do again? Again, it's guesswork, you know, but, you know, this guy on Twitter, you know, he's adamant that that's what's happening. He's put things from the company's house up to, you know, to try and give evidence that this is what's happening, you know. And if it is, I'm all for it. If, you know, if someone wants to come in, bang a roof on Pride Park, then yeah, let's earn some more coin while we can, you know, especially over the summer when you know we're not using the ground. But again, you know, I take it everything's going to come out. You'd hope that everything comes out once the deal is done. And, you know, we've got to think, we've got to pray, we've got to hope that this deal is done sooner rather than later, as in like next week soon. Because
however, but Chris Coles does allude to that Mel is meeting the obligations by paying salaries, keeping the club afloat,
yeah,
and trying to sort out the HMRC bill.
Well, that's what makes me laugh. He says cash flow isn't a problem. Then why has it been? And you can say COVID, right? We can say COVID obviously was a problem with, you know, with cash flow. That obviously earlier on in the season, like last season, you know, we missed players' wages due to this takeover. But surely, you know, when Stephen Pearce was talking the other week, he says, you know, the AFL had approved the takeover with BZI. You know, they were just waiting for the final, you know, the money to exchange. Well, if it's coming up to payday, surely you're not going to go, well, I'm not paying that because they're going to take over. You'd be ready there. Okay, well, it's still my club. If they're not going to pay before then, you'd be in talks with them, surely. So I'm not buying that. So he's saying cash flow is not an issue. If cash flow is not an issue, then Mel surely has to go, well, here you go. There's a taxman, Bosch. There's that paid. You know?
Why was it an issue with the BZI takeover and the salaries went unpaid for a month?
Well, this was it. They blamed it on the takeover, didn't they? They thought because BZI were taking over, then they wouldn't have to pay the salaries because BZI should really be doing that. Whereas in BZI's defence, if you're coming to a takeover that's near the end of the month, surely you'd wait till the old owner has paid the players and then you come in, Bosch. Well, you know, rather than coming in and automatically throwing, you know, £11 million or whatever it is these days that, you know, you pay your players.
Does that mean Mel probably accepted defeat and realised that he has to bankroll the club that he chose to buy?
Yeah.
Until the takeover happens?
Yeah, he's got to, you know. If cash flow is not an issue, then surely, you know, and Mel's paying it. If it's not Mel, then surely, you know, it's someone else, maybe potential owners. But we're in the dark about that. We don't know, you know, the who, what's, where's, and why's about it. But the good news is, though, we can think of it as a positive. And the good news is that, you know, it seems that a takeover is still in talks, still happening, still underway. And, you know, like I said, we've got to hope it's done by the start of the season because we need players. And because Rooney alluded to it after the Salford, you know, City friendly the other day, he's got no centre backs.
That's true. But do you really think the 10 players on trial are of any decent quality to actually get us above mid table?
This season will not be about playoffs. This season will be about just staying in this league. You look at Jagielka, yeah, bags of experience, but it's 39. Can a 39-year-old really blast 46 championship games? Look at Stearman, again, another, is he 34, I think he is? He's just
one,
seems like...
One centre-forward who's 35 as well.
Yeah. So then we've got to rely on the likes of Jack Stretton, you know, to come in. You know, I think Bobby Duncan as well, but he's on his way out now. He's going to Denmark.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah. So another striker down. What? So we brought in Sam Baldock.
Oh, God. Okay.
Again, trialist. But yeah, we need a striker. You know, he's going to offer something different. You know, he's not going to be one of these people that you put the ball to his feet and he'll try and work things. He's going to be one of the ones, bit of a poacher in the box, I think, you know, trying to get, you know, in behind. You know, and look at Aluko again, someone that, you know, was had a good season at Fulham, but since leaving Fulham hasn't really done anything. You know, and it just doesn't, they don't fill me with a great deal of confidence. But at the end of the day, these players are there just to put a squad out, put a team out. And, you know, people go, why is Rooney choosing these players? Well, at the end of the day, Rooney's hands are tied. This is all that Rooney can afford. This is all that Rooney can get. So I do feel a little bit sorry for him there. But, you know, the Tom Carroll one, I quite like that. You know, if that materializes, I'm quite happy with that. That's fine. If we can get Wisdom and Davis to sign new contracts, I'd be quite happy with that. If we can get Mengi to come, that's fine. You know, there's rumors that we're after Delap. That is not going to happen unless we get the fees paid and the accounts submitted and all that stuff. So, yeah. It's a tough one to call at the moment about where this season's going. I think a lot of us I've seen a lot of people accept relegation and we've not even kicked the ball yet in a competitive game.
Yeah, I've read that. Maybe we should have taken the points deduction and started with a clean slate in League One. And
problem is, though, that you take a massive financial hit if you get relegated. And we're not really...
Well, we'll see. We'll see. The thing is, why would the takeover happen after... The window is shut.
Well, let's remember, the window's open till August the 31st. So, you know, we've got... there is time. Even if it just... Again, the first couple of games could be a bit of a struggle, a bit of a mess. But, you know, we've got until the 31st of August. We've seen Wayne Rooney bring in five players on deadline day in January. Obviously, we need a lot more than five. But, you know, miracles can happen, I guess. So this takeover, it needs to be done by 31st of August. You know, for me, it has to be done by the 7th of August, by the 6th of August. It has to be done ASAP. Because otherwise, we are walking into Huddersfield with half a team. Well, two-thirds of a team. No senior centre-backs.
I have to say, it's scary when you say that.
When you go, yeah, we've got no senior centre backs. I'm assuming you'd have to stick Fozzie in there. You know, you'd have to play Buchanan as a left back, Fozzie in the centre, maybe Aaron Cashin from the under 23s as the other centre back, and then Byrne on as right back. You know, so that's we know what Fozzie's like at left back. At centre back. He's not the greatest. No disrespect to him.
Wouldn't you want your centre backs to kind of build a partnership and get used to working with each other and have some time to bed together? We're going into the season literally with no squad, and Tom Lawrence is captain.
Yeah, what'd you make of that?
I think it was a gamble. It's a desperate sort of his last season. Is it? Is it's last year now on contract?
I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
5 years. So no, either, I think he's got, has he got 1 year or 2 years? It might be his last year, yeah.
So I think it was just a desperate attempt to get the best out of him.
Yeah.
Longest serving player now. And we'll see. I don't think I would ever be motivated by Tom Lawrence if I was on his team.
That's a bit harsh.
It doesn't seem like he's the motivational type.
No,
he's not.
He doesn't. I get. I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, I look at performances.
He might be fun on a night out.
Oh, salam! I'm saying that, man. yeah. Well, we don't want to delve into that. But speaking of nights out, we'll get to it. Wayne Rooney. Wayne Rooney literally says he wants to bring some dignity back to this
club. Dignity and pride.
And pride. The day after he gets caught with two scantily dressed females fast asleep in a hotel room. And then it comes out that he's been set up and the police are involved in all this. But, right, okay. What do you make of that? Your manager's on the front page of the newspaper, fast asleep, with two girls in thongs and bras. Then a video gets posted today, and you've got Liam Rossini with him as well.
Oh, was he?
Oh yeah, they're all having it. They've just been beaten 2-1 by Salford City in a preseason game. Let's go get.
Was Liam scouting the talent of the championship? Making dossiers about players.
It's not good, is it? I mean,
mate, the man is entirely trading on the back of his name. Mm. It's absolutely, utterly outrageous and shambolic that your manager, who came out with those remarks, isn't leading by example and isn't putting in the hard work. He's looked lazy and unfit as a player.
Mm.
He undermined the previous manager.
Mm.
He instills absolutely no playing style in the squad.
Yeah.
Literally, he changes his tactics game on game to counter the other team instead of having like a philosophy or a style. And under him, players like Bird, Sibley have regressed.
Yeah,
they've not improved. He's a poor communicator with players, fans, and the media. You saw the interview that he did after he gave Tom Lawrence the captaincy. Mm. I mean, what do you do? I don't think Mel... I think Mel wants a shot of him, but I don't know if he can afford it or not, or if the new owners want him in because of his name.
No.
Absolutely shocking. I mean, seriously, like, why would he end up in a £60 a night hotel after a night out in Manchester with two Instagram models, like, and you're married and you've got kids? Like, if you want to have a blowout, we all have blowouts, mate. I'd meet you down the pub. I'd do like 6-7 pints and we'll moan and whinge about the situation. But we're just not going to be so ridiculous to actually like fall for it again when he knows he's Wayne Rooney. Does he even know he's Wayne Rooney?
Yeah. But do you not think it's just a case of someone trying to bring, you know, England's greatest goal scorer down? You know, these females. Let's just switch it a minute. If that was, say, two footballers scantily dressed, so just in the pants, taking pictures with a bird, right? Just hear me out. If that was opposite way around, they would be absolutely ridiculed. Whereas these girls, at the moment, you know, they've taken his picture against his will and then posted it online. He doesn't know nothing about this.
It's not against his will. It's not illegal to take pictures and post them online. They didn't try to blackmail him. They were literally drunk. It was 8 a.m. in the morning. They took a couple of, Snapchats. And Rooney should not have been in that position as someone of Wayne Rooney.
Like, you hear his story, though, and you say, well, okay, was that with his mates? Where were his mates, I suppose, and, you know, where this was happening? I mean, the girl farted on him. That's just disgusting.
No, she said
vulgar.
Mooney Rooney. That's what she said.
I don't know how true it is, but there was another picture going around of it was an Instagram private message that said £10,000 or I'll put these pictures out, Wayne.
That wasn't the girls. That was someone else on Twitter that did that.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
The blackmail did not come with the girls. The girls were just equally stupid and drunk. But, if this was like full Gascoigne, right?
Yeah.
You'd probably be laughing about it. And he would have probably like carried on drinking and partying. Mm. But this is, you know, you're Wayne Rooney. You just had a friendly with your club. You've got a hell of a challenge coming your way. What is the best way to prepare for it? Oh, I'll go get shit-faced. Sorry. I'll go get absolutely hammered. And I'll party with some Instagram models in their hotel room. That cost about 60 quid a night. You could afford a taxi from the centre of Manchester to where he lives. It wouldn't even cost 60 quid. Like, some things, like, you know, you put yourself in these situations. What do you expect is going to happen? Mm. And by the way, it's his private life, by the way. He's not on a work night, fine, Sunday is off. But, like, what really kind of, like, annoys me is he came out with a comment about bringing back pride and dignity and fight and that speech that he gave on Saturday, and then he goes out and does that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Where's the leadership qualities there? Well, if I was a player, okay, so we've had, you know, joiners. Was it joiners? Yeah.
Joiners arms.
And now we've got Wayne Rooney. Like, what kind of culture, what kind of message do you send out to the youngsters, to the youth, to the up-and-coming players? We're just an absolute mess, a car crash after car crash. We've become a soap opera. Mm. We're an absolute, like, an episode of Shameless. That's what we are at the moment.
That's Manchester-based as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you're not a fan of Rooney then, I take it?
No, I never was, never wanted him. Hollywood signing, just to, like, I don't know, get some media attention, another male masterstroke.
Does it worry you that John Terry's left Villa? Do you think Rooney's on thin ice?
Oh, yeah, he definitely is. I don't think everything is rosy with Mel and Rooney, but I don't think Mel can sack Rooney at all.
I don't think
Rooney is going to walk away. I don't think he's smart enough to walk away. If I was Wayne Rooney, why would I want this? It really makes no sense to me.
He can afford to walk away. You know, that's the thing. We saw it come out in the press a few weeks ago. Oh, Wayne Rooney's thinking of walking away if something doesn't happen or whatever.
Yeah, we saw that.
And you're thinking, well, you can do. Nobody's stopping you. You know, you can afford just to go, look, I'm not feeling this anymore. This is not what I want as a manager. I'm just going to walk away. But I don't know whether it's to try and boost his credit, you know, and say, look, I was with Derby when they're in the worst situation they've been in, you know, since the Maxwell days, but I stayed. I don't know if he's got that in his head or what, because, but yeah, I think
obviously what happened over the weekend was not planned.
No.
Had I been advising Rooney, I would have advised him to walk away, because if a takeover doesn't happen and he's left with that squad and with Mel Morris refusing to give anything more towards the club, then he's in a losing battle. It's just League One for us.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's just, there's so much uncertainty surrounding the club at the moment. But I just think at the moment, we can't sack Rooney. Hear me out. The reason why is if you sack Rooney now, you're already bringing an unstable ship. You know, you're bringing it further into trouble if you then sack your manager. If you've got half a squad and you then go, right, the manager's gone, you know, as a player, you go, Jesus, we really are in a mess. I don't want to play anymore. I don't want to be here. You know, so I just don't think we can sack Rooney at the moment for that reason.
Of course we can't. We can't. We can't afford to. And it's impossible to sack him at the moment.
Somebody, though, that has gone is Shay Given. Now, Shay Given, we've not seen him for weeks. We've not seen him since the start of the new season, really. You know, the training videos and the photos and all that loveliness. And today, The Athletic reported that Shay Given is, well, basically, essentially, is what I said a couple of weeks ago. I got asked on Twitter about it. I said I think his contract run out. You know, obviously coaches are contracted as well. And he was, according to Rooney, after the Man United game, working on a new deal. However, that's now come and, yeah, it's not happened. And the Athletic reported today that he's gone. And he's been offered work, apparently, at other football clubs and in the media. But me, personally, well, Sal, are you bothered that Given's gone, you know?
Not really.
Oh,
a goalkeeping coach brought in to become like what was the actual technical term?
Was it like a set piece technician or something? I don't know.
Defensive tactical something. I don't know. I forgot it. Yeah. No, not bothered. Not bothered about the entire coaching team, to be honest. I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm sure he's intelligent. Mm. I'm not there watching the training, so I really have no idea. But yeah, I mean, we still have plenty of coaches around.
Yeah, I think obviously Given was brought in under Lampard as goalkeeping coach. Then January he got moved to as a first team coach with Wayne, Liam, and Justin Walker. And then now we've got then Jason Pearcey, who's the goalkeeping coach now. So one thing I will say about Shay Given is he's supposed to be a goalkeeping coach. Have our goalkeepers really improved? You know, we look at the situation at goalkeeper wise from when he came in. Scott Carson, you know, arguably was probably the best keeper in the league under Gary Rowett the season before. Next, the season after, he's then trading places with Kel Roos. No respect to Kel Roos. But Carson ultimately really is the better keeper. But under Shay Given's watchful eye, he declined.
Carson did have a really bad spell there.
He did, but under Shay Given, he was quality under Rowett. And then some new goalkeeper coach comes in and he's toss.
Who was the goalkeeper under Eric Steele?
You what, sorry?
Who was the goalkeeper on that? Was it Lee Grant and...
Yeah, it's not Legs, not Adam Legsins.
Kel Roos was already in the team, wasn't he?
Kel Roos was there, yeah. He was in and around, yeah, Jonathan Mitchell and all. I think he might have been a little bit after, but he's gone, but yeah. And then obviously we look at the season after, again, Kel Roos and Ben Hamer.
God.
It was take your pick, basically, you know, again. If you can't get a settled keeper into a squad, you know something's not right. It'd be interesting to see who makes number one this season, whether it be David Marshall, whether it be Kel Roos, or even Allsop, who's coming on, you know, as a trialist from Wickham, of all people. The irony of all that.
it's definitely got to be Marshall, right? I mean, he's got the experience. He's a better all-round keeper. I still think Roos is, or Rose, is a better shot stopper.
Mm.
But I think Marshall is, just edges it slightly. But I think Rose is a much better shot stopper. I think he's really good. I just think his command of the area, his confidence, I don't know what it is.
Well, that's it, you see. I was watching Gary Neville's Soccer Box. I don't know if that's a plug, if I'm allowed to say that, but whatever, with Ryan Giggs, right? I don't know if you've seen it, essentially, it's on Sky Sports, another plug. and Gary Neville sits with
you're getting paid for that?
No, I'm not. Sky, pay me. I'm plugging your work. Basically, he sits with another player, like an ex-player. I think he's had Wayne Rooney on there, of all people. But he was sat with Ryan Giggs, and they go over their career highlights, etc. And one of them was an assist he put in against Newcastle. I think it was for Rooney, actually. I might be wrong. It might have been Van Nistelrooy, actually. Anyway, he's about level with the 18-yard box, but by the touchline, he swings this ball in just on the edge of the 6-yard area for Van Nistelrooy to pop it in with his head. And he's discussing it with Gary Neville, and he says, well, I've seen that Shea was in goal, and I know he doesn't come off his line, so I knew I could put it a bit closer to the 6-yard area than I would normally. And there you go.
There you go.
Do you see? Players knew that Shea Given would never come off his line to come out and claim a cross. He's not a sort of keeper. Our keepers are exactly the same.
But Shea, yeah, I remember that. I actually remember that when Shea Given used to be a professional footballer. I thought maybe, the talk was because maybe he's slightly small in stature, couldn't quite get the high balls properly, so he stayed on his line.
Yeah, but that's the thing. If you're then coaching, you know, Shea Given was a great shot stopper. You look at Ruse, really good shot stopper. Marshall, I don't know. He's got a tendency to have to have biscuit wrists every now and again.
And getting beaten from the halfway line.
Well, yeah, and that. So I just don't know, you know, but our problems with our keepers, even Carson used to come out for crosses, stop doing it under Given. Ruse the same, Hamer the same. He started doing it, coming out, trying to command his area, then all of a sudden went back to, you know, trying to punch it or not coming. And so I think maybe he was a weak point for us, as a coach. And then as a first team coach, I think he basically made up a couple of corner routines where we just piled everyone in, stung it to the back post, headed back across, and hope someone gets the end of it. And, you know, he was praised for that. Well done, you come up with a corner routine. And that's all he did. I think I've seen it on Twitter, actually. Someone retweeted the tweet and said, "Who's going to hold the iPad now?"
I know, right? I was going to say that. Where's the iPad now? Did he get left behind or did he take it?
I don't know. It's. Do we bring in somebody else? Would you bring in? I know Jason Pearce. I think he's from the academy. He's now got his chance. I don't know. I don't know if it's Jason Pearce or Jason Pearcy. I think it's Pearce. I think Pearce is his nickname. Or do you bring in someone?
I would bring in a new manager.
I would be tempted to try and coax Eric Steele from Radio Derby. To be honest,
I think he'll like that, wouldn't he?
I think he would. And you know what? With the fact that he's worked with Rooney before, it would not surprise me.
He loves Rooney. He's very supportive of Rooney.
You know, don't get me wrong. I love listening to Eric on the radio, but he is very, very defensive of Rooney. He will not say a bad word about him. And that's fair enough. You know, he's obviously the good friends. They've worked together. But come on. There's times when criticism is needed.
So what's McLaren doing at the moment?
He's still at the club.
Technical director?
Something like that. This is it. You know, if we had new owners in, right, and let's say they didn't want Rooney, you'd have to have someone that there is immediate to replace him. Surely you'd just go, "Maka, can you come down, even if it's temporary? Steve. Come and take control." Because I think he would.
Definitely. Definitely.
I look at the managers that you see whose names are popping up at the minute. You're looking at John Terry, Jody Morris. Well, I think obviously they look like they're in contention for the Swansea job. One of them does. But John Eustace as well. He's
just got a job, didn't he?
Hey, no, he turned it down.
What?
He was literally, it sounds like he was literally about to sign on the dotted line. Right. And then he went, "He's going to have to decline the offer."
Is everyone waiting for that Derby job then?
Well, someone like John Eustace, I think, you know, he loves this club. From personally knowing, he'd love to have this job at Derby, and he'd love to work at McLaren. Which, you know, it's McLaren perhaps has had his day as a manager. You know, he's ultimately tried and failed. But as an assistant manager, as a coach, he is probably, you know, I've had a couple of ex-players on here. I've heard a lot of ex-players on different podcasts. They all rave about how good McLaren was as a coach. I had Jakob Larsson on here a few weeks ago, and he said, McLaren's one of the best coaches he's played under.
Yeah, so McLaren now is becoming a coach of coaches.
Yeah, well, imagine.
Like a trainer.
But yeah, I think I'd look at, you know, I know it's a difficult situation, but to put someone like John Eustace in, but I believe he's got all his coaching badges. You know, he's done, you know, he's been working at QPR.
Very defensive though at QPR.
Yeah, but is that him or?
It's the squad that he had.
He's got a squad. Obviously, he had, what's his name, Warburton, didn't he? He was working under, so. So obviously, yeah. I think, you know, if someone like Swansea are looking at tapping him up, I wouldn't say no to him coming here, to be quite honest.
One step at a time, though. We still have Rooney as manager.
Obviously, yeah, there's still obviously a lot that needs to go off. You know, bills need to be paid, accounts need to be filed, takeovers need to be signed off, managers need to go, players need to come in.
So by
the time we're
done
that, it'd be Christmas.
Who do you think out of the youth might step up this season? Anyone to look out for?
I don't think there will be. I've looked at some of the academy matches, the under 23s so-called matches, and a lot of them are very young players.
Extremely young now.
Pardon?
Extremely young. We've learned
18, 19, that sort of age. They're like 17, 18, 19. It seems to me that Rooney won't be going down the academy route. Those players like Knight, Bird, Sibley, they may well have cemented their place in the first team because of previous, you know, what they've done under Philip Cocu. I look at Max Bird, though, as you mentioned, he's gone backwards. He's gone the way he passes. He's gone backwards. I watched the Man United game, the preseason friendly, and, you know, he was at fault for the first goal, again, dwindling on the ball in his own box. Not good. Louis Sibley, again, you know, Rooney tried to push him and doesn't play him in his right position as a 10.
You've got Lawrence now in the 10, haven't you?
Well, I look at why they've sort of stuck with this 4-2-3-1, but the front four are especially the three behind the striker are very interchangeable. So it's been sort of like Lawrence, Aluko, and Morrison, and they've all sort of interchanged. So they'll go to left, to right, to centre. They all sort of change positions. To be honest, I'm not going to lie. Against Man United, we looked good in the first half, especially. We did look. A lot of the players that Rooney's, you know, changed the style of football, which, you know, he said he would do when he had his own squad, and we do look more attacking. But obviously, you've got to have the players. You've got to have a goal scorer. But I thought we looked well, good against Man United. The Salford game, I was on all day. I didn't see it. I saw the highlights again. There was a chance, I think, for Baldock. He was clean through, and rather than score, he tried to square it. And what are you doing? You're a striker. Put the ball away. So yeah, I can't see many of the, unless obviously he's desperate, and we've got to pull young lads through. Festi Ebasele looks like the guy that's coming through this year, though. Obviously, he got a couple of substitute appearances last season, but, you know, he's been playing the pre-season friendlies. He signed a new deal this season. So, yeah, he looks good. So I think he'd be one of the ones to sort of look out for this season.
Definitely.
Personally.
Yeah, he's a good player.
So, yeah.
I'm kind of surprised we let Archie Brown go to a Swiss club.
But this is it, though. You've got to look what the state of the club is. As a young player, you're going to go, I'm holding out for the first team here, or a club's come in for me. Let's go. I think I'd take the opportunity. Personally.
Definitely.
If you're not going to get in here, you just go. And this is it. This is what academy football is about. It's not about making it at the club you're in the academy for. It's about getting your name out there and getting clubs to recognise. It's like Bobby Duncan. Bobby Duncan's been here, there and everywhere. Yeah, he might not start for Derby, you know, but now he's gone to Denmark. I think there is a good player in Bobby Duncan somewhere. I think, you know, obviously his attitude, I think, was questioned. But I've been told, you know, that he absolutely smashed his targets. You know, I think he paid for training during the break before pre-season. You know, he paid to get extra training in, do extra sessions with the coach. You know, he come back fit, firing, ready to go, and he's gone. Yeah, he's gone to Denmark. Yeah, he's gone to VB in Denmark. Yeah, that was
that's a good club.
Yeah, well, it was Jakob Larsson's first club.
Oh, yes.
I thought, I recognise that name somewhere. I thought, oh yeah, mentioned to me the other week. So yeah, so I think it's, you know, I just feel like we shouldn't be having this conversation at the minute. You know, we're what, a week away from the start of the season, and we're still talking about players we need to get in. Is the manager the right fit? Is the takeover going to be done? You know,
it is an absolute mess, isn't it?
It is a shambles. It really is.
It's beyond depressing at the moment. Where I'm just laughing because of levity, trying to make jokes. But yeah,
season tickets, mate.
Yeah, what about what's happening there?
COVID. Every other club in the EFL has gone. Well, apart from, I think it's Hull. I think Hull you can only buy a month in advance or something, but. Every other club are putting their season tickets on, but Derby aren't because of COVID, and they don't want to be in the situation where they've been in if they have to refund everyone again.
Yeah, because we broke.
Well, yeah, exactly. Probably because we can't get creditor insurance or something like that. Because everyone pays on the credit on like debit cards, credit cards, direct debits nowadays. And I believe, again, a guy on Twitter knows his financial stuff. He was saying, everyone that's listening will know exactly who I'm talking about, but I don't want to call him out. You know what I mean? But he knows what he's talking about anyway. But yeah, it's something to do with not being able to get insurance or something like that in case you need to refund people. So that would make sense in our current situation, to be honest. You know, if you've not put your accounts to a company's house, surely a lender or a creditor is going to go, hang about, you've not put your accounts there, mate. You're in. Why would we say, oh yeah, of course, if you can't refund your club, we'll pay it for you. Ain't going to happen, is it? Let's be honest. So that, again, you know what I mean? A week away and we're still discussing this. It's pathetic. We should be going, oh, I'm really looking forward to this season. Look at the players we're going, this, that. Can't believe we've had this takeover and, you know.
Oh, the problem is, even if the takeover happens, we have no time to actually bring in anyone of quality.
No,
we're left with these trialists that are the leftovers of the leftovers that no one wants at any other club. And... yeah, I mean, survival, I think, would just be a bonus, to be honest.
Well, I look at some of the players, and when they go, oh, yeah, well, they were quite happy to wait here for a deal. Of course you bloody are. No one else has come in for you.
Yeah.
Or if they have, they're probably a lower league club or something like that, and you're going, well, actually, I've got a chance here for a championship club, but I know I've probably got them as backup anyway. They've already offered for me now. I've said, hang about, I just want to see, just wait a few more weeks. If not, then, yeah, is that all right? Yeah, all right, no worries. You know,
The gravy train at Derby, you come in, play about 20 games a season, and then collect your salary. But at least Bielik is on the mend.
Yeah, we have good news. Bielik is on the mend. He's back training on the pitch now by the looks of things. You know, that
a couple
was...
more months?
Or I think Rooney or someone said December maybe, or November, December time. But I've heard as well, I have heard he is progressing good. Better than they first expected.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
His quads look massive now as well.
I know.
Which means he's healing well.
I honestly hope, though, he does put some K-tape on it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I really don't want him to go into, you know... I have seen players now with legs strapped up. He's got to strap his leg up. Surely he's got to strap his leg up. He's had two ACL injuries on the same leg. That's a weak point. You need to give it some extra protection. Because otherwise it's going to be career-ending.
Well...
potentially.
Yeah. Well, interesting. When Thorne did his podcast with someone else, Did Thorne say something along the line that he was genetically weaker than everyone else?
Yes, he did. Like, yeah.
Smaller ligaments.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Yes, yeah, so maybe there's that. We don't, obviously, again, we don't know. So it's a tough one. But yeah, fingers crossed we can keep him fit, because I think we all know that he was the kingpin when we went for our little bit of run that we had before.
Oh, yeah. It was the reason. He was the reason why we avoided relegation, because when he was in the squad, we went on that run. Mm. We made those points. I think we averaged 1.79.
Mm.
Points per game with Bielik. So yeah, over a season, that's over 40 points. So like, he single-handedly kept us up.
Yeah.
So if we can get him for half the season, that would be amazing.
Yeah. Another thing as well, regarding takeovers, etc. Don't you find it strange that all of a sudden Fanatics have joined with us and our merchandise club shop, a big American company? They only deal with Premier League clubs, or, you know, Premiership, or like German clubs, German Premier League clubs, etc. We've now become the only club outside of the Premier League to be associated with them.
And on page 3, right at the bottom, with the old badge. No, not at all. If it's going to be like American takeover, then obviously with ties to the NBA, then that would not surprise me at all. I mean, Aston Villa already had them when they were also in the Championship. Not sure if when they got promoted or when they were in the Championship, but it's an American owner. So those kind of sorts of ties do not surprise me at all. However, what worries me is the price of the shirts on Fanatic. Kind of, they were selling last season's shirt for the full price.
Oh, that dropped though. I don't know what happened there. It was weird. The club shop reopened online and the shirts were £16. Then all of a sudden they jumped to £50 and then went back down to £14.50. It was ridiculous.
All right, fair enough. So, okay.
But what, it's strange actually, because obviously I'm now affiliated with Kitbag UK. They obviously sponsor the show. Well, they are a sort of affiliated with Fanatics. And bearing in mind, I got told about this, you know, they asked if you know, if I could, you know, if they want to sponsor me, etc. Back in, is it June? No, May, sort of May, June time. It never clicked with me at all. It didn't click until the shirts come out and I seen it on the email that the guy sent to me. It says, right, here's, you know, go use this link, you know, get people to buy the shirts off this link and you will earn out of it, etc. And it says Fanatics at the bottom. It never clicks. What's that about? So yeah, guys, just on that, if you do see a link, if I do post a link, essentially it helps me, it helps the show. If you use that link to buy a product, I basically earn a shitty commission off it. But yeah, thanks. You know, yeah, so if you use that link, I mean, I know some of you guys brought the shirts from the link I gave you on the release day. What do you think of the new shirt, actually?
Not a big fan of it. I just feel like the trims were, like, I think they just went for the cheapest option. A plain white shirt with, like, a black and blue patches.
Yeah, but the blues for remembering the when we were in blue in the 70s.
Yeah, but there was, like, yeah, but there's no thought into it. There's just, like, the most boring shirt I've ever seen.
You know what? When I saw it on the pictures, I was a bit like, you know what, I actually quite like that. However, I saw it on my nephew the other day and I went, I'm having second thoughts about that now.
Not sure at all.
They've got the black sort of V in the front of the collar, and I'm thinking
makes no sense.
Collar bit needs to be black, not just triangle.
It makes no sense. It's just a weird, weird looking, it's just like, we can't be bothered. Let's do something on Photoshop. Let's put the blue in there and that's it. I just hope the away one should be good. I mean, last year's away pink one. Was that last season?
The third kit was last season.
That's a quality shirt, for example. So, and that sold out and I couldn't get one, which is really annoying.
Well, the best thing is, I showed you the away kit that got posted on social media. That is actually the away kit, that blue one.
Oh, the bus.
That was it. I couldn't believe that when you went, mate, I don't like it. It looks like a bus seat. I was like, what?
It's like, getting the 53 bus from the late 53 bus from Trafalgar Square back to Greenwich. That's exactly the seat.
I didn't. After, during you sent me the picture, I actually thought it was one of your buses that you're going in Lebanon, not the ones in London.
No, the one in London. What Lebanon? Oh, I don't live in Lebanon. I'm here for work.
Yeah, so he's joined us. It is late at night. Yeah, so sure, you know, you're a bit, it's a bit underwhelming, I suppose. It's what about the orange training shirt? It seems like a season like too that, late. Yeah, I like it. It just seems like a bit that. Too late, doesn't it? Cocky's left.
Yeah, I know, right? has he been paid yet?
I don't know. I'd assume if there's no cash flow problem, I'd assume that Keogh's been paid and Cocky's been paid as well. I don't know. I might have to try and get him for an interview again. He declined me last time.
Who did? Who?
Cocky did.
Oh, okay.
I asked him if he'd come on, but they said not at the moment. So
get Keo.
Yeah, like I say. Yeah, like I say, you know, I can't be having that for an hour, mate.
Oh, fair enough. That makes sense.
There was rumours that he was coming to us. I thought there's no way he's coming back here. He's gone to Blackpool instead, I think. Is it Blackpool, I think, he's gone to now?
Has he left again? He's left another club again?
Yeah, he was at Huddersfield, weren't he? But he was only on a contract at the end of the season. They've not renewed, so I'm sure it's Blackpool he's gone to.
Was he in the number one starting centre-back, or was he, like, on the
He started for Huddersfield. He was still shite for Huddersfield. Don't get him started, Richard Keogh, please.
Fair enough.
Trying to put this podcast out. Take over talk to Wayne Rooney, stay or go. Oh, yeah, and Richard Keogh. No.
Fair enough. So do you reckon we get the announcement of the third kit tomorrow at the Betis game?
The away kit? I don't know. It's not been announced, has it? We've literally just had the home kit announced. That's it. But I'm going to the Betis game tomorrow. I'm actually looking forward to being back in the stadium.
Oh, that should be awesome.
I know it's only going to be a few thousand fans, but at least it's not £20 a ticket like Man United was. I thought, you know, £20 a ticket. Plus, my missus was on this, so I couldn't go. I was gutted.
Did that same Man United team get smashed by QPR 4-1?
Maybe. I didn't know. I don't look. I didn't look, to be honest. But yeah, there was a. There was some good players in there. I wouldn't mind having. If Rooney's got links to Man United still, hopefully we can get a few. Like Palestri, he looks good. Elanga, another one looks good. Mengi.
See, another thing that really annoys me, it's like, it's all Lampard's fault when fans say that. Why is it Lampard's fault? It's like he papered over the cracks with three amazing loans. I'm like, well, surely, as a manager, it's your job to get the players in.
I know.
And make sure they play to the highest standard possible. Why couldn't the others do the same? Like, you know, this like mentality that trying to defend Mel Morris all the time by blaming anyone else, the fans, Lampard, McLaren, Keogh, like literally everyone but Mel Morris. It's like, no, Lampard did exactly what he's supposed to do. He's just contacting the game to bring in those three amazing loans.
Exactly.
Well, let's hope Rooney does the same. If it's only loans, why haven't any loans have come in, decent loans.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's a six-month thing, isn't it? So,
can't you get 6 months loan and then get them again on another 6 months loan?
That's what I was wondering. Can he do that? But it makes you think, if he could do that, then surely he would.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what the law is on that, because if it's six months per player for one year per season, then obviously, but then again, surely you'd get it up until the next transfer window and then you deal with it then instead of, I don't know. I really don't know what's going on at the club.
No, I don't know. But we are coming to the end. I think we've covered like everything we can. it's honestly, mate, it's really good to have you back.
Likewise, good to talk to you again, mate. I was just wondering what's happened to Alonso. Is he still around on social media?
Probably saying, asking for private message. Did you see that? He was putting private message to all these players.
Private PM me. He's like, I don't know you. But PM me anyway.
Who are you? Yeah, no, that was fun times. That was just an absolute laugh. When everyone went south on him and he sort of started messaging me going, hey, can I talk to you and stuff? I'm like, what? Dude, seriously. I asked you so many times to come on your podcast, and you said, yeah, but you wouldn't give me a date. You had your chance to explain yourself, but you didn't come on. You bottled it. So, yeah, it was fun while it lasted. But Mel's got the best interest at the club at heart. He always will have. Yeah, I'll sell to Eric Alonso, highest bidder. Bearing in mind, a couple of years ago, we slated him because of what he did at Charlton with that Matt Slater guy. He even went, I think it was on TalkSport or something. So he knew what it was about. He knew what he was like. Yet he still went, oh, he'll do.
You know, a lot of fans, this exactly tells you about Mel's character. He was willing to sell to Alonso.
Mm. Yeah, I think that nailed it.
That nailed it. He was willing to sell to Alonso. That's enough said. That's exactly what you need to know. The future of the club would have been like, obviously the AFL stepped in and stopped it. Mm. But yeah, there we go.
Yeah. So fingers crossed, though. Now we've these are reputable owners. You know, normally when they're from America, they are. If Mike Horton is involved, you know, then obviously, like I said, he was involved previously. You know, he knows what he's doing. I'm sure it'd be a good fit. And hopefully he can, you know, take the drama away from this club and just, you know, I want a boring season.
Yeah, same. I want a club season.
Yeah, just that'll do. Do you know what I mean? Just, yeah, that'll do. I want Barry from Burton ringing up going, I don't like this. We need to score more goals. Yes. I want that. That's what I want. I don't want, like, what's going on with this club? Why is there no communication? Yeah, genuinely, you know, obviously, the fans are the ones that have taken the hit, essentially, here now.
Always.
You know, and, you know, Mel has literally just gone, stuff you to the fans. Doesn't care. I'm not going to talk to you. I understand. I totally understand about not talking about the takeover, but I still think there could have been better communication-wise, just saying, you know, just to say, look, we're not going to, you know, we are in talks with somebody. Nothing's going to be said at all. We are keeping it to ourselves until everything is clear. That way fans will stop worrying. I personally feel if there was something, or don't worry, the club's not going to go into administration, because that was the big fear. But nothing's come out. And it's only for whatever reason this weekend that Chris Cole's has finally been spoken to.
That's just perfectly timed in the run-up to the season. Obviously, the fans' charter meeting next week, Mel will give out some sound bites. He'd answer the questions he wants to answer, and he will just keep everything just ticking until he's shot of the club.
Yeah.
But what can Mel say at the moment? Yes, I admit it. I really screwed up. I should have, you know, submitted the accounts. I shouldn't have done that. I've overspent. I've put the club in a perilous situation. I mean, he's not going to say that, is he? What do the fans want to hear? I mean, I think with Chris Cole's tweets, I think that's pretty much what you would assume or what you'd hope we're at. Mm. And I think the best tweet was that financially everything will be met.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important tweet out of the lot that he sent.
I agree. So on that, we shall call it a day. So guys, thank you ever so much for listening, for watching. If you're on YouTube, remember to like and subscribe. Hit that button down below. And obviously, those who listen to the pod, remember to subscribe. Leave me a comment on Apple if you want. I appreciate that as well. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Ramswriter, Facebook, the Ramswriter Podcast, Instagram, the Ramswriter Podcast. If you want to follow Salam, who every now and again comes on Twitter and then disappears, follow him at Salam Hafez. So yeah, anyway, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for commenting, subscribing, sharing, all that. Hopefully everything will be sorted in the next few weeks. I'm going to the Betis game tomorrow. Might do a little bit of a review after that. But until next time, guys, come on, Derby. Steve Bloom has watched it.